Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, discover how a winning attitude stirs us to persevere for the journey.
Some of you, all you can think about or talk about is the trial that you are facing now, because what you have not seen is you have not seen Jesus, who's way above your trial. Jesus, who's much bigger than your trial. Jesus, who has all power over your trial.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute. With today's message, our series Be the Change draws to a close. If you've missed any of the previous messages, you can go back and catch up on our website. You'll find us at boldstepsradio.org. But right now, with your Bible handy, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 to start our study. Mark begins part two of this message on having a winning attitude with a recap of yesterday's message. Here's Mark Job.
As you are running the race in God, and if you're going to run to win, you have to periodically examine your life and say, do I have bitterness, unforgiveness, jealousy? And is it starting to entangle me and entrap me? Because I need to get rid of it. Because let me tell you what happens if you don't regularly clean house in God. It will start wrapping itself around you more and more and more and more. It may start little, but if you let it just keep growing, one day you'll find yourself jumping along the side of the road in your spiritual journey saying, what happened to me? Is you did not get rid of the sin when it was small. You let it grow, and now it's tripped you up and stalled you on your walk with God. That's the way the Bible talks about repentance. How do we clean house? We confess our sin and we repent. Confession means that I agree with God about the condition of my life and how this sin doesn't belong in my life. That's confession. I have to admit that it's part of my life. Some people confuse admitting with confession. Just because you admit your sin doesn't mean that you've confessed your sin. I see all kinds of people that admit it when they're caught, but it doesn't mean they're repentant. Some people think that because you admit it, you've repented of it. No, you've just admitted you did it. I see people in court. After the evidence is there, everything's projected, they say, yeah, I admit it, I did it. But I'm thinking, yeah, but if you could do it again without being caught, would you do it? Repentance is, I know this is wrong. Confession means, God, this is not me. This has hurt your heart. Repentance is, God, I turn away from this. This is not a part of my life. I walk away from it. Confession and repentance needs to continually be in our life so we do not get bogged down in our race and our walk with God. Number three, the second part of this verse. A winning attitude stirs perseverance for the race that is set before us. Stirs perseverance for the race that is set before us. It says, and let us, after we've gotten rid of the baggage, you need to get rid of that baggage continually. And some of you here have come back to God after falling away from God because you didn't get rid of the baggage and you got bitter against someone, and then you didn't feel the joy of God, and then you didn't want to go to church anymore, and then you didn't want to read the Word anymore, and then you started getting cynical against God, and then you just fell away, and it took a jolt or a disaster or a crisis or a tragedy to bring you back to God. Don't let it happen again. And then it says, after you've gotten rid of the baggage, then he says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The New Testament was written in the Greek, ancient Greek, not modern day Greek. And the word for perseverance is the word hupomone. Go ahead, say it. I know you want to. Go ahead, say it out loud. Hupomone. There you go. So you took a Greek class today. Don't go telling your Greek friends, I know a Greek word, hupomone, that's ancient Greek. They're not going to know what you're talking about. But there's a couple words for perseverance and endurance. The word hupomone means a perseverance It's a perseverance that's active, not a passive patience. Someone said, I was in the waiting room and I just waited there patiently. That's not hupomone. Hupomone is a kind of perseverance that a marathon runner has, that he keeps running patiently, doing what's right, even when it's hard. That's hupomone. It's someone that does, that's active, patiently continuing to do something, even when it's hard, because they're persevering towards the goal that's set before them. Now he says here, so let us run with hupomone the race that's marked out for us. I love that part. Your race has been marked out for you. God knows what your race is going to look like. You say, well, hey, if I would have known what my race was going to look like, I'd have signed up for another race. But you know, hey, God knows the race. You don't know what it looks like, but it's been marked out in advance. God has marked the track for you out in advance to run it. So now run the track that God has marked out for you. Run it. Run it with perseverance. I love that determination of heart. It reminds me of a story I heard about the Chicago Fire, in which a businessman, along with thousands of others, lost everything. And a man walked by the business that this business owner had the day before, and the fire was still smoldering and smoke was still up. Everything had been burnt down to the ground. And he saw a handwritten sign where the business had been, and the sign said, all lost except wife, children, and hope. And then it said, business as usual will resume tomorrow. That's hupomone. That's, I'm going to keep doing it even when it's hard. I'm not going to give up. I'm determined. It's tough. It's hard. It's a challenge. But I will patiently persevere until it's done. That's a spiritual winning attitude. Number four, a winning attitude maintains strength in difficulty through clear focus. Notice what it says in verse 2. And let us fix our eyes on... Come on, you could do better than that. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. So what he says in this passage is that there's going to be times when difficulty is going to come. It's going to test your resolve to move forward. Listen, if you're here and you've never had a major trial in your life and you've never had difficulty, it's because you're 2 years old. If you've lived life, you've had difficulty. You don't go through life without tough times. It happens to everybody to different degrees. And what he's telling us here is that when you're going through a tough time running this race, you will have to keep your strength up and your motivation up by focusing on Jesus. You see, a lot of people, when they're in the middle of the trial, they lose focus. It's like one of these cameras that, well, it has a lens that goes in and out. People that win, winning attitude, the harder the trial, the narrower the focus. When you're in the middle of a trial and a difficult time, the last thing that you need to do is just stare at the trial. The best thing that you could do is stare through the trial to the author and perfecter of your faith, who's Jesus. Do you understand that? You stare through the trial because there's someone that's bigger than the trial. See, what happens in a lot of our lives is that we start going through a tough time, and pretty soon we start looking at the trial and we start focusing on the trial. It's like when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was looking at Jesus, then he saw the waves and he focused on the waves, and pretty soon he started to drown because all he could see was the problems. Many of us are like this. If this is my problem, You know, my problem is not really all that big in the light of things. It's just a small thing, a part of my life. But sometimes my problem, I start focusing on my problem and saying, man, my problem's big. It's just so overwhelming. I mean, it's just really consuming my life. And wow, I wish I could get rid of this trouble and trial and situation. And man, it is just really, really big. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And pretty soon we're walking around life like this. Someone says, how you doing? Oh, whole life is terrible. Because your trial has become your focus. It consumes everything. It's all you see. We're like the old Greek grandfather who was taking a nap and his grandchildren decided to play a little trick on him, and so they got some blue cheese and they rubbed it on his big mustache. And he woke up and he said, man, I stink. He walked through the house and he said, this whole house smells. I mean, it stinks. He opened up the door, went out on the porch, and he said, this world stinks. But the problem was right under his nose. And sometimes that's how we are in our trial, is that some of you, right now, you think the world stinks. And right now, you're overwhelmed by your trial. And right now, your joy is gone. Your motivation has dissipated. Your perspective is out of focus. All you see is darkness and depression and dreariness. All you see is dead end. Wherever you look, you see despair. You see no hope for the future. You can barely get out of bed. And all you can think about or talk about is the trial that you are facing now. Because what you have not seen is you have not seen Jesus, who's way above your trial. Jesus, who's much bigger than your trial. Jesus, who has all power over your trial.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job, and today marks the final message in a series Mark calls Be the Change. If you're ready to make a change and follow God's life-transforming plan for your life, then be sure to keep listening to this program each weekday as Mark teaches straight from God's Word in a fresh and bold way. Get a dose of inspiration from Mark, and also join us online for some insightful and encouraging conversations with people just like you all over the country who want to be agents of change for Jesus Christ. You'll find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And to learn more, just go to boldstepsradio.org. But right now, let's get back into the second half of today's message. Mark is going to wrap up the series with a final point.
So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, that means he's the originator of, and the perfecter, that means he's the one that matures it, of our faith. He gives us faith and he grows our faith. Focus your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Listen, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You see, he says, look at Jesus and as an example, but look at Jesus as the courage for your life. When Jesus was on this side of the cross, he did not want to go to Calvary. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that Jesus cried unto God with such deep passion and such deep stress that he sweated sweat mixed with blood. Now, the only way that you can sweat blood and sweat together is if you're under such duress that you bust a capillary, a small vein. When people are under such stress, some of you women giving birth bust a couple little veins. Or people under super big stress, they'll sometimes burst something in their eye and it'll show up, a capillary, a small vessel will bust. And people under deep duress will bust small veins because of their strain and stress. Jesus was under such deep duress that he sweated both sweat and blood together because he did not want to go to Calvary. But he said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He knew that on Calvary, he'd be carrying the sins of all humanity. He knew that on Calvary, every rape and murder, every act of insane jealousy and hatred, every child molestation, every genocide and homicide, all the atrocious deeds of humanity, every darkness of the soul that's ever been committed in all humanity, at that moment in time would be placed upon him. And that the Father would look upon him and see the sins of all humanity upon him. And that he would cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For at that moment in time in history, Jesus, the Son of God, all man, would carry man's atrocious sins from the smallest to the largest upon his soul. It wasn't the physical torture of hanging on a cross merely that he didn't want to go through. It was the stain and shame that he would go through. But for the joy set before him, it says, look at your Bible. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned the shame. Because he knew at the other side of Calvary there would be a grave. And at the other side of the grave there would be a resurrection. And on the other side of the resurrection there would be an ascension. And on the other side of the ascension he would sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he would open the doors for you and I to be able to access God the Father and all the forgiveness that comes from him. So for the joy that was set before him, he knew that on the other side, good was coming. He knew that on the other side of the cross, there was a purpose. He knew that on the other side of the cross, humanity would experience his gift. He knew that there was joy on the other side. So he endured the cross, despising the shame, because he knew that on the other side of the cross, there was a purpose. Let me tell you right now, some of you are going through a trial. You do not know why you're going through it. And you say, Pastor, I see no good in it. I have no idea why I'm going through it. It's only pain and misery. And I'm not going to ask you to try to figure out why. But I am going to ask you to remember that in the midst of it, God has not lost control. God is not confused. The world is not spinning out of God's hand. He's not disoriented. He hasn't lost his foundation. He hasn't forgot about you. In the midst of it, there is still a purpose and a plan for your life. And you are not called to know the reason of the trial, but you are called to go through the trial without losing your joy, knowing that God is doing something in me and through me through this trial. And that's why it tells us in James, it says, my dear brethren, count it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance produces completeness or maturity in our life. If we go through it with joy. And so I want to encourage you even right now as you take on a winning attitude to remember that if you're stuck right now, going through a trial right now, to look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Focus on Jesus. And number five, lastly, I'll close with this. A winning attitude embraces hardship as a part of the transformation process. Consider him. Verse 3. Who endured such opposition of sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you. You see, here's what I want you to understand. When you embrace hardship as part of the transformation process, as part of the journey, God wants you to have an attitude, a winning attitude, not just when things are going great. Anybody can do that. The sun is shining. You just got a promotion. You got money in your pocket. You got a good relationship. And maybe even the miracle happens and the Bulls win. You know, I don't know. And you're just feeling great. Well, anybody can feel great in those days. But he's telling us, hey, consider him, Jesus, who endured all this. When you start getting tired or weary and start getting tired in your own struggle, remember, hey, you may have resisted, but let me ask you a question. The author of the Hebrews asks this: have you resisted to the point of actually shedding blood? I mean, are you? Have you resisted to the point where you know, you're being whipped 40 times in the back? He says, consider Jesus when you start getting overwhelmed, because most of us haven't even resisted to the point of shedding one blood in our battle to live for God. Remember that. And remember that, do not make light of the Lord. Remember that God has a purpose in every difficult situation that we go through. Listen, I want you to win. I really do. I pray for you. I pray that you win. I want this congregation to make it. I want your marriage to win. I want you to walk in a spiritual way so that you don't fall away. I don't want you to be a casualty. I want you to fulfill your destiny. I want you to stir up your gifts. I want the joy of God to be on you, the power of God to be in you. I want you to be fulfilled in your walk with God. I want you to make the impact that God has called you to make, and I want this church to reach the destiny and influence that God has called us to have. That's my prayer, and I pray that regularly for you and for this church. But I know that I can't fight the battle that only you can fight for your own destiny. I know that. I can pray for you, but you got to fight your battle.
This is Bold Steps, the Bible teaching of Mark Job. By the way, all of Mark's messages are online, so if you ever miss a message in this series you want to catch up, you'll find the messages online at boldstepsradio.org. Well, you may or may not know this daily program is made possible in part by listeners like this gentleman who wrote in saying, I give to Bold Steps because Mark's messages are so close to my heart and is moving in a way that I feel God is saying, you have questions? I'll use Mark to explain it to you. That's encouraging. I like
I love
Mark.
That.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit does that when we open up the Word. And, you know, Wayne, so many times people tell me, hey, you were speaking just to me. How did you know that? It's the Holy Spirit.
We know
Spirit.
It's not us, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's God working through you in this case, Mark. Here's another one. God blessed me so much through this program and recently encouraged me to stand firm in my faith. Thank you for all your hard work and your faithful service. Now, when you read something like that, when you hear a comment like that from a listener, what does it mean to you?
Just very encouraging. You know, typically when I'm preaching before an audience that I can see, I can talk to people and interact, the way that we interact via radio is through emails or text or people just letting us know what God is doing.
Yeah, we love for it to be two-way, don't we?
We do, and it's very encouraging to hear these testimonies.
Mark, thank you. I'll come back to you in a moment as we talk about tomorrow's program. But, you know, listeners' thanks really belongs to the people who donate to help keep this nonprofit ministry on the air and also on the web. We couldn't do it without our listeners. And if you'd like to join in with us in this worthwhile cause, sign up today to become a Bold Partner. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. Or if it's easier, call us. Talk to our team member. The number, 844-615-7363. Now, when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Michelle Van Loon's book, Born to Wander, Recovering the Value of Our Pilgrim Identity. But don't wait. Today is the last day you can request a copy. The number one more time is 844-615-7363. Well, Mark, before we leave today, how about a word about where we're going next week here on Bold Steps?
Oh, yeah, this is going to apply to so many people. We're starting a new series entitled Stressed, Calming Down Without Cracking Up.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of stress these days just the pandemic, the economy, and even the elections that are coming up very soon.
Bombarded with political statements, aren't we?
Yeah. And so this is going to be great. If you need to tell some friends about this series coming up, you need to download it, listen to it. There's so many people that I'm talking to these days that are anxious, that are nervous, that are really stressed out, and I think this is going to speak to a lot of people.
Yeah, we have the antidote, God's Word, don't we? Thank you, Mark. And thank you for joining us for another week of solid Bible teaching with Mark Jobe. That new series on stress starts Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.